C3.ai. What a weak sauce name.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that's a terrible name.
Why would you do that? C3.ai.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's an AI company.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Artificial intelligence. That's where you want to be, right? Thanks for joining us for today's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you got Mark and Derek.
What's going on, Mark? How are you?
What's up, buddy? I am doing A-okay.
Excellent.
Just another magical IPO kind of day with DoorDash.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to market.
Mm-hmm.
You know? How are you doing on your Christmas shopping?
Did you buy
everything on Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my
I don't
family's.
Or anything anymore.
No. Yeah, my family's crazy with the lists and making sure you get the lists out quickly. So I spent most of my time preparing my list and then didn't buy anything for anyone else.
Yeah. I think we have to get back into the Christmas Eve.
Yeah, for sure.
Shopping extravaganza.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, that's just an annual event. Run into the mall real quick, get some stocking stuffers and straight to the bar. All right, man. So out of respect for the DoorDash IPO, let's talk about the 15 hot upcoming IPOs to expect in the remainder of 2020, which is not a lot of time,
right?
And throughout 2021, mm-hmm. right? So, D, as you know, I mean, we just did some quick research on this. The S&P at the time of the recording of this show is up 15% this mm-hmm. year. That's a good year.
Very good year.
The Renaissance IPO ETF is up 114%.
Which is much better.
That's much better, right?
Some quick math, about 10 times better.
Look, IPOs have been all the rage, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so I think this show is kind of cool because we're going to be able to kind of front run like which ideas are good, which ideas are bad. And then out of the 15, maybe we can pick our two or three favorites.
All right.
Sound like a deal?
Sounds like a good deal.
All right, man. So we got the list already done up, but I'm going to skip to number two, which is DoorDash, because that is rolling out today while we're recording this show. Price came in far above estimates at $102 a share. DoorDash is a game changer. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
When I'm hungry and I'm lazy, I DoorDash.
I mean, how many times have we said, you know, in college or after college, like, man, I would pay so much money right now for someone to deliver me Chipotle.
Right. It was only pizza back then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? So DoorDash is awesome, especially throughout COVID. The issue I have with DoorDash is it's trading at 100 times EBITDA.
Yeah.
That's a lot, dude. That's expensive.
It's real expensive.
So we have one client who sold her food delivery business to a company called Waiter Holdings.
Mm-hmm.
Very small company, market cap of probably like $500 million. She still owns some of those shares. So I'm hoping, how's the saying? A rising tide lifts all boats?
Yes.
Is that the saying? All right.
I still don't know it, but when I hear it, I can say if it's right or not.
Yeah. So that Waiter Holdings stock has been a dog. I'm really hoping like this gets her back to where she needs to be.
Right.
I mean, I think it was like, it probably peaked at about $6 a share this year. Probably was as low as a dollar. And because of this DoorDash IPO, it's climbed all the way back up to $4 or $5.
Right.
And hopefully that rising tide does lift Waiter Holdings as well. I think getting into DoorDash at 100 times EBITDA is a little crazy. But I also said the same thing about Zoom in March, and I look like an idiot now.
Well, I mean, you can be right and still wrong, you know, I think, in this business. DoorDash, the revenues have surged from $587 million in 19 to $1.92 billion in 2020. And it's kind of like this pandemic has signed a bunch more people up who are just going to continue to use it.
It's recurring revenue.
And yeah.
You know, it's a different kind of recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. It's not contractual. It's not subscription-based. But once you use it, you're going to continue to use it.
Right.
So the only issue I have, I don't know how it is around your house, but the area I live in is almost considered rural.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough restaurants that are willing to deliver to me. I'm sure yours is probably a little better.
Yeah, mine's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I got the Shake Shack right down the street from me. So
there you go.
That place is awesome.
Yeah, it's good. All right, let's move on from DoorDash. Let's go back to number one, Roblox. So this is this stupid video game that my son plays all the time. I mean, it looks like Atari graphics.
Yep.
Have you seen this thing?
I mean, I've seen it. I've never played it.
It looks awful.
It does look dumb.
Like, I was watching my son play it, and I'm like, why are you playing this, dude?
Yep.
This looks terrible. But they're addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
Kids love this game.
A quarter of the users are under the age of 9.
Well, he's nine. There you go. There you go. So this thing is, it's the estimated IPO valuation's $8 billion. This is kind of like the Fortnite effect, I think, right? What is this? Zynga. So I don't know about this game, man. I mean, this is obviously something that's very addictive for the kids that are playing it. I'm not that crazy about investing in video games.
No, it's kind of like time waster apps to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're an adult and, you know, kids obviously get hooked on it. But yeah, not one of my favorite ones in this list for sure.
No. And plus we own Glu Mobile. Right. Glu Mobile. So that's if you want to play the Kardashian game. There you go. All right. Move on because we don't have a lot of time here. All right. So we knocked off Roblox and DoorDash. What is number three on my list here?
Wish.
Have you ever used this app?
I have not.
It's miserable. It is terrible, dude. It's like really low price articles of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what it was when I used it. I used it one time and quit. I'll never use it again.
Mm-hmm.
I tried buying a really cool loud sport coat to wear in Vegas. Like just ridiculously loud, you know? Probably like sparkles on it. And
stuff. Yeah, definitely need some glitter.
The louder, the better, right? So I tried to buy this sport coat and I bought it with my normal size. Dude, this thing came back like in a women's size. Straight from
with
China.
Shoulder pads.
It was so small, I couldn't even fit in it. So, you know, that was a one and done for me.
Yep.
But it's just, and I think most of their manufacturers and merchants are based in China.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a reason why a nice sport coat's going to cost you $500, $1,000 and they were selling them for $50.
Right.
And it didn't fit. Not good. Maybe they've changed. I don't know, man. I haven't used them in a while. You said you've never used the app.
No. I'm concerned about their sales growth too. Only jumped 32% year over year in the middle of a pandemic. I would think that that should be higher than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only a 10% growth in 2019. So not one of my favorite ones on the list.
Nope. I'll pass on that one. Let's see. What do we got up next, D?
I got Airbnb is next on my list.
That's the biggest and baddest right there, right?
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that, dude? Because like hotel stocks are cooked.
Yep.
But maybe people are more comfortable staying at a house that they know was sanitized and they're going to be the only people. Now, who knows if the owners are really sanitizing the house?
Probably not.
Probably not. They're going to tell you they did.
Yep. Spray a little extra Lysol in the air and call it sanitized.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your take on Airbnb? It seems like a bad time for them to be rolling out their IPO.
It really does, honestly. I do think what you just said there, there's a lot of people that I know who are slightly younger than us who basically book Airbnb vacations exclusively. They don't use hotels. They don't use resorts. They like the kind of the lower cost features. And, you know, let's say you go to whatever beach vacation, right? Rather than spending a lot of money on, you know, a beach resort, those daily resort fees that are, you know, speaking of Vegas, they're like $60 a day or something to use.
Go.
Yeah, we definitely need to go. So I think this pandemic has really increased that traffic direct to the single homes as opposed to going to a big hotel.
Yeah, I hate Airbnb. I used it one time. Bad, bad experience.
Yeah, it seems like that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because
so
there's
if you have a
them.
Bad experience, you're not going to go back.
Right.
So I actually, we rented out a house in Ellicottville, New York, where the ski resorts are.
Yeah.
So we got there and their dog's fur was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to bed and I felt their dog's fur on my face. Yeah, I couldn't sleep. I was completely disgusted. What I didn't know is that I think they actually lived there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they lived there and they left for the weekend.
Right.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's like a rental property that you have and it's exclusively a rental property, that's one thing. But I don't want to go to someone's house they're still living in.
Yeah. And I think you get that a lot on Airbnb.
Yeah. That's strange, man.
Like I know, for example, upstate New York with Saratoga Racetrack. That's the big summer place to be. All kinds of people do that. You know, they live in upstate New York through the whole year.
They do that in Augusta for the Masters.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, you know, I think their process probably needs to be refined because you hear a lot of bad experiences, but I think the overall model I'm a fan of.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, man. The next one I've never heard of. C3.ai. What a weak sauce name.
Yeah.
Right? Like
that's a terrible name.
Why would you do that? C3.ai.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's an AI company.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Artificial intelligence. That's where you want to be, right? I mean, that is the hot industry to be in. What do you know about this company? I don't know much at all, except for their name's not good.
It's one of those tech companies that seems to be enjoying a very, very hot run of revenue. Their latest quarter, they reported $156.7 million, up 71% year over year. So very similar to that cloud company.
Cloudera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was actually thinking that because this, the estimated IPO valuation here is $4.3 billion. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Cloudera is at, but I would bet it's about $4 billion. Mm-hmm. And they make money.
Right.
And they've got this AI stuff, mm-hmm. right? And they've got Carl Icahn as an investor. And they've got a great partnership with IBM. Mm-hmm. And IBM paying $4 billion for a company, that's a drop in the bucket for them. So they're a takeout target. Right. So yep. As I'm seeing this, I'm like, well, there's really nothing interesting. I mean, I guess AI is interesting, but there's already players that are doing this stuff.
Right. This smells a little bit too much like 2000.
Pets.com.
So all right, I'm going to go ahead and pass on that one.
Yeah, I'm passing too. I just don't like the name. I'm going to pass on that one.
That's the type of A-plus analysis everyone's looking for us.
Name stinks. Don't buy it. Affirm. So Affirm. I know I've heard of this company before. So this is the lender, like the online lender that utilizes AI, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. I've never interacted with them. Do you know anything about them, D?
You know, not too much. It seems like everyone who's going IPO these days has some sort of active user number. So it looks like this company attracted more than 5.6 million users, and it has merchant base like Walmart, Wayfair, Peloton. So it's got some big names there. They've already raised $800 million
to date. That's where I saw it. Affirm. All right. So when I was looking to get a Peloton a couple years ago, or maybe I was doing research for a TV appearance.
Yeah.
That's how, rather than buying a $2,000 bike, it's like $48 a month through Affirm. Right. That's the only place I've seen it.
And that little tag, the Affirm tagline, you can, hey, pay $20 a month. That seems to be everywhere, honestly, now that I think about
it. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. So I like this one.
Yep.
It's like a fintech play, right?
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
That's interesting, especially when you consider what companies like PayPal and Square have done.
Right.
And it looks like the CEO, Max Levchin, like he's the one who basically pioneered PayPal.
Part of PayPal, yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, just betting on a good CEO like that is typically a good move.
Yep.
All right.
Revenue up 93% year on year, too.
Yep. All right, let's move on to Bumble.
It's an interesting one.
Because I know you got Bumble on your phone.
Dude, I'm so old and obsolete, I had to look up what Bumble exactly did.
I'm so old and obsolete, I had to actually talk to girls at a bar.
I know, that was crazy, right?
How did we do that back in the day?
Probably not very well, but.
You just hop on an app, right?
It's crazy.
So all these different dating apps, they all have their little angle.
Right.
Bumble's angle is, I think the women have to reach out.
Yep, that's what it says. So it's like there's three different ways to connect, but the women are driving the connections, basically. So you can't, if you're a guy, you can't go out there and try to talk to the women. The women have to initiate the conversation. And there's also...
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, how often does that happen in real life? I used to have to initiate the conversations.
Yeah. And when I did, it didn't usually go very well.
I'm just not good looking enough for anyone to initiate me.
I was tall. That's really all I had going for me.
Yeah. Well, you still got that going for you. I used to own Match.com. Mm-hmm. Match.com is like obviously the number one dating site ever. And they own Tinder. Mm-hmm. And Tinder is like the number one dating app, if you call it dating.
Right.
Hookup app. Yeah. Right? This Bumble thing is interesting to me. I mean, I'd have to look at the valuation and see if it makes sense. But the angle is interesting that the women have to initiate the connection.
Right.
Because normally it's the guys, right, who are just reaching out at everyone.
But
the numbers game.
You know what? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what really caught my eye on this one is the dating portion. But they also have like a friends app, which probably isn't. If you move to a new town and you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
And it's 2020, hopefully 2021 when we can actually, you know, see each other. That's not a bad idea. So, you know, they have like the reaching out to make friends. Yeah.
If you move, that's kind of cool.
Social
groups. And that's, as you mentioned that, so I was talking to a guy yesterday who, you know, might join our team from Pittsburgh. Nate came to us from grew up in Minnesota, and then he was trapped in West Virginia for a while, right? Luke, I believe, is from Pittsburgh. We used to just home grow our awesome talent, right? Now we're seeing that we are finding talent from different places, and then they got to move here and they got to make new friends. I mean, we're all really cool people. I'd want to be friends with us.
They don't seem to want to hang out with us, let's be honest.
It's because we're 40, dude. God.
So depressing.
2020, the worst year ever. We turned 40. All right. I'm interested in Bumble, but I don't know anything about the valuation, although I do see Blackstone is a majority stakeholder. And you know how I feel about Blackstone. I love Blackstone. I think they're the best private equity firm out there.
So I think it sounds like an awesome company. The space is what concerns me.
Yeah.
You know, it's an intense competition.
A lot of competition.
Changes all the time.
Yep.
So that would be my apprehension about it. But I think the company and the overall idea seems very, very interesting for sure.
Yeah. So are you friends with my brother-in-law on Facebook?
Yes.
All right. So he has not had very good experiences on Bumble. he's commenting on him. Sounds kind of scary, actually.
Yep.
All right. McLovin. Applovin. All right. Applovin. Not really sure what they do. It sounds a lot like Glu Mobile, right?
I mean, yep.
Basically apps and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like a platform. So it's exactly like Glu Mobile, it looks like. Helps a developer build, manage, and monetize their apps.
Okay.
So like, how many of those companies do you really need?
You really don't need that many, right? I mean, I guess Glu Mobile, like all the apps, or at least the apps that I'm aware of that they're marketing are all gaming apps.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what Applovin, what kind of apps they work with. It could be a Strategic Wealth Partners app for all I know.
Yep. I don't have any of the specific names listed here, but you know, again, another 750 million daily active users, all of their apps, reaching more than 2 billion devices every month, which is seems like a crazy number.
Yeah.
So, one to take a look at.
Yeah, obviously, one to take a look at. Not one of my faves, but that's okay.
Yeah.
The next one is one of my faves, Instacart.
Oh, yeah. Talk about something for old people.
I hate grocery shopping. I hate going to the grocery store. So Instacart is amazing.
Yeah,
it really is. The problem I have with Instacart, dude, is I always get the lazy shopper. Like, I'll place my order for everything. And then Instacart says, if they don't have this, is this an acceptable substitute?
Right.
So I'll spend a little bit of time. I'm like, fine. Dude, these lazy shoppers, they just pick the first thing. Like, my product is in stock. I know it's in stock. It's always there.
Yep.
But they'll just grab the replacement product. All like they're just lazy. Mm-hmm. They try and get in as quickly as they can, in and out. So that is the one issue that I think Instacart needs to button up a little bit. Like, and I'd be willing to pay a little more if they get the product I want. Right.
That's
they,
exactly how I feel about the food delivery service.
Yeah.
Uber Eats.
Yep.
I had such a bad experience on that. I was just so mad because you order, you're hungry, then you got to wait 40 minutes, then it's delayed, and then it shows up all messed up. It's really frustrating. So I feel like Instacart, if they can perfect the process,
because
what you just said, that's everyone's complaint. If they can get that down, it is a phenomenal service. And for someone who, you know, needs to save all the time that they can, this is an awesome, awesome.
It is. It's amazing.
Product.
I mean, delivers the groceries right to you. So the flip side of the lazy shopper who just runs in and grabs the fastest stuff he can get and then delivers it to you is another thing I hate about the Instacart app, which is the person who abuses the messaging version, right? Hey, I can't find this. Would you take this? Like, dude, I don't have time to text you.
Exactly.
That's why I need you to shop for me.
Exactly.
I'm not on my phone right now. I can't do this.
Right.
You need to figure it out on your own. All right. I like Instacart. Let's move on. All right. ThoughtSpot? Never heard of it. Have you?
I have not.
Cloud infrastructure and services firm. Oh, that's Nutanix. So that's not even the right company. All right. So another cloud company is what this looks like.
Not even an estimated valuation.
Yeah.
So that's going to be hard.
Let's see. So it's an analytics cloud company. So, you know, they're throwing in Tableau, which was acquired by Salesforce, Google acquiring Looker. Dude, there's a lot of data analytics companies out there. Data analytics is a big thing, right? Like, if you can perfect your data, that is the most valuable asset any company has.
No question
about
it. I mean,
we were just talking about going back through our old prospect database, mm-hmm. right? Data is the most important, most valuable asset any company has, but it's worthless if you don't understand the data. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to analyze it and use it in a way that drives profitability.
And it's also useless if it's bad, incomplete data, which is a lot of people's starting point.
Yes.
So companies like this can't magically fix stuff like that. And right. I think that's really one of the big problems with the whole space, even with like stuff like Salesforce.com. The data that you start with is really important. So that's why it's such a long onboarding process.
Yeah.
For something like this, I assume, you know, these companies are similar as well.
Yep. All right. On to the next one, which is Petco. I was surprised to see this on the list.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised they're not already public.
For sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're
$6 billion valuation.
But that seems kind of low. I mean, these stores are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'll say about Petco is dog ownership skyrocketed throughout the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Skyrocketed. Because you were stuck at home. And the worst part about getting a puppy is potty training them,
yeah.
right? Because you're going to work. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult. You got to like cage them, you know, and then let them out. It's very, very difficult to train a puppy when you're not home. Everybody was home. So it was the perfect time. I heard a lot of like, I don't know if they're called animal shelters. What do they call? Where you go and adopt a pet? Is it an animal shelter?
Yeah, I think
so. Is that
so.
What they still call mm-hmm. them? I thought there was like a nicer name now. But like, I know people who went there looking for dogs and they were like, quote unquote, sold out of dogs.
Right.
Like they didn't have any inventory of dogs. Oh, yeah. So
my brother, he just got a dog with his girlfriend. Our family's in, well, not me, but our family is into the Cavalier poodle mix,
yeah.
the Cavapoos.
Yep.
And he doesn't have a lot of money. This dog was like $3,000.
What?
The price of the dogs went up more than double.
Yeah.
Over the pandemic.
That's crazy, man.
So yeah, you know, hey, a nice normal company that isn't selling, you know, apps or cloud space.
It is a very easy to understand
yeah.
company, right?
mm-hmm.
Most of these, I'm like, what do these guys do? I know what Petco does.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Moving on. All right. The next one, UiPath. Another mm-hmm. pretty awful name.
yep.
Not quite as bad as C3AI or whatever that other company was, but UiPath, what do these guys do, man?
So
process automation.
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah. So it looks like,
especially if they want to raise minimum wage.
Yeah. Which is,
you know, kiosks are coming.
Looking like it's going to happen.
Right.
Yep.
So process automation kind of fits into that. But
yeah,
process
for sure.
automation is what drives profitability for companies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, the more you can automate stuff and not have to have a human being do it, the more profitable you can become.
Right.
Now, some people, D, are going to think, well, then there's no jobs. No, there's jobs working for one of these companies
right.
that develop.
At a higher level. Yep.
So there's jobs. The jobs have just changed. So now you don't need the guy or the gal at the register at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now you need that guy or gal working for this company to build the kiosk.
Right.
Right. So it's just a repositioning of jobs.
Right. You know, it's it's probably over a $15 billion valuation. And this part of the business has turned out to be really essential for many large corporations like we just talked about.
Yeah.
So,
dude, they've got some big investors, man.
Oh, yeah.
Sequoia Capital, Tiger Global. Now, Sequoia Capital has been a flop for the last few years, but they did have a really good long-term track record.
Right.
Tiger Global is a big, big shop. So typically when I see that, I'm more interested.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
That's one to keep an eye on.
Oscar Health. As soon as I looked through this, this is like an insurance platform,
mm-hmm.
insurance for family, small businesses, and those with Medicare Advantage plans. This sounds exactly like eHealth.
It really does.
Right. We own eHealth, right? And eHealth is, I don't know, maybe a $2 billion market cap. What are they saying about this thing? I don't see.
They don't even have a valuation. Yeah, they've already raised $1.5 billion. So that kind of scares me, you know, when there's
that's almost more than eHealth is right now.
Yeah.
eHealth might be a $2 billion company. All right, you keep talking and I'm going to look.
So, you know, Oscar Health, again, they already have 420,000 members. So, you know, it sounds exactly like eHealth.
Yep.
So I assume like the churn rate would be a big
Similar.
Issue
yeah.
with this company.
The only thing I'll say about the churn, though, is their net promoter score is really good.
Yeah.
So their customers like them a lot. Right? It's a 36 compared to the industry average of negative 12.
That's insane.
Yeah, dude. I used to know what net promoter score was. I think it's like the number of people that give you like an 8, a 9, or a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then you subtract the people that give you like a 5 or below.
The bad ones,
like the 6s and 7s, you don't even count them, right? They're not needle movers for your business.
Right.
I think that's how the scoring works. It's something like that, right? You take like the ones who really like, and that's the one question, right? Like you'll get that survey, like how likely are you to refer our company to a friend or family member or colleague?
Right.
That's it. It's one question, mm-hmm. right? And that's how they judge their net promoter score. But that seems pretty high. So maybe the churn rate is better than eHealth. eHealth had some issues with, you know, they had those gunslinger cowboy salespeople
right.
showing up at someone's kitchen table, selling them a big policy and then never talking to them again,
mm-hmm.
right? Obviously, eHealth is working on changing that culture. By the way, eHealth's market cap is $1.9
billion. Oh, so you're right on.
So we'll stick with eHealth. All right. Almost done. Almost done. Next one is Nextdoor. I've heard of it. I don't know what it is.
This is one I actually know. I have some friends who use it. It's like a social networking for your community, basically.
Okay.
So you can, you know, talk about things going on, you know, why isn't basically
we're
for people
we're having a party on Saturday. Don't call the cops on us.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff.
Yep. It's big for the HOA. You know, we got a meeting here. You know, do you guys want to pay more money to update the pond in the gazebo? Warning people of, you know, dangerous stuff. Hey, I saw some shady characters around the corner, stuff like that.
Just sounds like a nice company.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it definitely, I'm sure it's going to have a big active user. It looks like 268,000 neighborhood. So yeah, you know, it's easy to use. It fills a need, although mine is on Facebook and that seems to work okay. I never go on Facebook anymore.
Yeah, same here.
But I do go on there and check that message board from time to time to hear people complaining about dumb stuff.
I just go to check out my brother-in-law's dating experiences. That's the highlight of my Facebook activity. All right. So Nextdoor, the most interesting thing I see with Nextdoor is they've got one hell of a CEO.
Yep.
She was the CFO of Square. She was an executive at Salesforce, and she was a top software analyst at Goldman Sachs.
Yep.
That's a hired gun. They got a good one there, right? All right.
Sign me up for that one. Yeah. That makes all the difference in the world.
Next up, last one, Ascensus. That's A-S-C-E-N-S-U-S, Ascensus. That's like the retirement plan company.
Yep.
I believe they're like administrators of the retirement plans. I don't know exactly what they do, but I know we've come across like some mm-hmm. clients who have their money with, you know, these Ascensus plans.
Yep. It looks like they have a 401k division, 529 college planning division, health savings accounts. And it says it has more than $327 billion in assets under administration with more than 3,700 employees and a large network of financial advisors.
Legit company? I don't know if it's that interesting to me, though.
Yeah, it's not really moving the needle for me.
Yeah, but it's a solid company. They probably cash flow very well.
Right.
But it's not like a fintech company. Maybe it is. Maybe I just don't know enough about it. It just doesn't seem that interesting to me.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those companies that's going to trade at 250 times.
Yeah, those are the ones I want.
Exactly.
But I want to get them before they trade it.
Well, that's the point of the show.
I don't want to pay 250 times. All right, so that wraps it up. So what are your top two or three here?
So I was definitely all in on DoorDash. I started looking at this several days before the price was announced. So I definitely like that one. I am an Airbnb guy, so I'm going to give my second star to Airbnb. And then I changed my mind on the last one. So let me get to that page. I had Instacart in there for the last spot.
Instacart is one of mine. I like Instacart. I think there's room for them to improve it, which is only going to help the valuation even more.
Yep. The UI path. That one is very interesting to me.
That is the automation?
The big one.
I like automation.
The $15 billion valuation. Solid management team. Essential for a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
Really fits into what I think a powerhouse company would look like going into the future.
Yep. All right. So my favorite is Affirm.
Mm-hmm.
That's that fintech lender. Yep. That is probably my favorite. I think there's a lot of money to be made in fintech. I'll agree with you on UiPath. And I'm also going to go with Petco. You know, we've done very well with Zoetis, which is a pet drug maker, right? Like my dogs take it, like the Simparica Trio or something like that, right? It like guards against heartworm, all that stuff. So we've done very well with that. I think there's probably some upside with Petco. So Affirm, by far for me, I think is number one. UiPath would be number two. I do like Instacart, but you know, like the Instacarts and the DoorDashes, you and I know, like they're just going to be egregiously overvalued as soon as they hit the market.
Right.
A company like Affirm that maybe people aren't familiar with.
Kind of in the background.
Yeah. Like that's, or UiPath. I'd never heard of them until we just did this show.
Yep.
Now I like them. See, even I learned something when we do this show. All right, man. Good stuff today. As always, shoot us any questions you may have. info@swpconnect.com. We are continuing to pump out that swag for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we got some hoodies. As those go, we'll get some more stuff. Give us that 5-star review. Write a little message. Shoot us an email. Let us know you did it. And we'll get you some goods. All right. Again, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. Hey, it's Mark. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. Look, if you wouldn't mind, please go to your podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you use, and give us a 5-star rating and review. You know, the best way for us to continue to educate and enlighten every single one of you is for more and more people to know about us, and your review would help us with that. Also, we've had quite a few listeners reach out to us lately asking about financial planning. So we've decided to offer a special to every single one of our listeners. It's a $495 comprehensive financial plan, no strings attached. You don't have to move your investments under our management. We're not going to use the plan as a gimmick to sell you a product. There's absolutely no hidden agenda and no further obligation on your part. You just get great conflict-free advice from us. And all you have to do is visit your495plan.com. That's your495plan.com. Fill out your info. One of our certified financial planners will reach out and begin to build out your plan. Visit your495plan.com today.